Well, it's funny that saying that it has been a tough couple of years with having kids, and I've had a lot less sleep than I've ever had. But the funny thing is that this year especially, I feel more alive than I've ever felt before. And I say that with full honesty. Last night I didn't sleep much at all. This week I didn't sleep much, and everybody I've talked to has been saying how tired I look, and I know I must be tired, but inside I am just so full of joy, full of life, and just so thankful to what God's done in me. Because this year has been a year like, I can't even begin to describe the work that God's done in me, and that's why I'm so happy to be preaching today, because what God's done in me is so wonderful, so marvelous, that I just want to tell the whole world. And I want to tell everybody that God has done a great work in me, and he wants to do a great work in you also. So I may be tired, but my spirit is alive, and I hope that what I bring to you today will stir you, will challenge you, and most of all, will bring you closer to God today. But I'm very aware that anything that I bring out of my own strength today will fall flat. I could preach a perfect sermon on truth-telling and not lying and being fully truthful and stuff, and you could think that's a great sermon, but it was just my words, and it won't have any effect. And so I invite you right now to pray with me that the Holy Spirit would be with us right now, and that the Holy Spirit would work in our hearts, that the Holy Spirit would convict us and would reveal himself to us, reveal God to us, and show us the Father. I pray, I just ask you to pray with me right now that God would work in us, that he would do a great and wonderful work. Let's pray. Oh God, I love you so much, God. I'm so thankful for all that you've done in my life. I'm so thankful for the love that you poured out in me. And God, I just pray that today in this place you will be honored. God, my heart's desire is to please you and to glorify you, to edify your body, the church. God, I thank you for the honor I have of being up here in front of all these beautiful people today. And God, I pray that you will speak to us. Oh God, I invite your spirit to come and work among us. Work among us, Lord. Oh God, I pray that we would see you move today. In the name of Jesus, amen. I've cried a lot this week while praying and reading this, and so I'll try and get through this without crying too much, but sometimes it just happens. The passage I was given to preach on today, it's Matthew chapter 5, verse 33 and to 37. So I'm going to start there, but I'm just going to use that as the springboard and then go on a journey. I think we may cover a little bit of ground today, and we might end up in places I'm not exactly sure yet. But the message I had today is quite simple, and I think you'll find it quite simple. It's a simple truth, but great and precious truth. So let's open our Bibles, if you had them. To Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 33, and this is in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, which apparently he was sitting. And he goes, "Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'Do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you have made to the Lord.' But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Simply yet, your yes be yes, and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one." It's a good word. I think to understand this, though, we need to understand the context of where it was preached and what was happening at the time. And I'm not going to spend too much time here, but if we go back into the Old Testament law, God had said a couple of things about this, about vows and truth-telling. And one of the key verses would be Numbers 30, verse 2, which I'll just read quickly. It says, "If a man makes a vow to the Lord or takes an oath to bind himself with a binding obligation, he shall not violate his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth." Now, having just heard that, I think you look at that and you're probably thinking, all right, I've got to keep my word. That's kind of the impression you get. Well, it's hard to keep our word. And all through the Old Testament, we find the Israelites that had trouble keeping God's word. They had trouble keeping his standards. And by the time that Jesus came, the Pharisees had developed ways of making it easier, ways of making God's standards a bit lower so that we could actually meet them. And one of the things they said is that, well, it says in Numbers 30, verse 2, "If a man makes a vow to the Lord," and instead of focusing on the whole point of the passage that you've got to keep your word, they went, "If you make a vow to the Lord, then you have to keep your word." And so they held it to be true that you made a vow and you include God's name in that vow, then you absolutely had to keep your word. You had to be completely truthful. Oh, thank you. But if you swore by Jerusalem, or if you swore by the earth or by your own head, then it wasn't as binding. It wasn't as big a deal, and there was leeway there. In other words, they were looking for loopholes. And I feel like we do that so often. We look for loopholes. We look for ways to justify ourselves and to make it, oh, it's not so bad. I mean, we try and lower the standard so we can meet it, you know, because God's a perfect standard. He's a perfect holy God, and we fall short so often, and it's so easy for us to look for loopholes, to think, how can we make this a bit easier so that we can keep our word? But what Jesus is saying here is that, well, no, it doesn't matter if you don't put God's name in your vow or in your word. He's saying that Jerusalem, what is it? Is the city of the great king. And do not swear by heaven, for it is God's throne. Do not swear by the earth, for it's his footstool. He's basically saying you can take God out of the vows, but God doesn't go away. God doesn't go anywhere. And I think Colossians talks about God is before all things, and in him all things hold together. God is part of everything. God's part of every sphere of our lives. And whether we specifically put God's name into our conversation and say, oh, I swear by God, oh, this is the truth, God is still part and parcel of everything we say. God hears every word that comes out of our mouth, and he is witness to it. And we need to be truthful in what we say. But it's not easy. It's not easy. We lie so naturally. It just comes so easily for us that I can see why we try and find a bit of wiggle room to allow us to get away with, you know, even little lies, little white lies. They don't harm people. They make life a little bit easier, don't they? But truth is a big deal for God. And that's the big thing that I've been thinking about in the last few weeks, is how much of a big deal truth is to God. And I want to really look into that today. And I want to start with one. Well, let's go back a couple of steps. Let's start looking at some foundations to why it's so important that we tell the truth. And I mean, this passage I just read about, it's in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus has just been talking about, you know, haters like murder, and he's been talking about adultery. He's been talking about like these really big sins, pulling out the big canon and stuff. And then he suddenly starts talking about you got to be truthful. And I feel like sometimes we don't really feel like lying is such a big deal. We know it is, but. In the way that we live, sometimes, especially the little lies, I feel like sometimes we don't really feel like they're as serious. But I hope to challenge that notion very much today. The first thing that I really want to cover is that our words are so very important. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, Jesus says, "But I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." Our words are so important, what we say. And in James, James actually echoes this, the same sayings of Jesus about, you know, don't swear, let your yes be yes, let your no be no. And he adds, so that you will not fall under condemnation. Because he knows that we will be judged for every word that we say. And if we are loose with our words, we will be held account for it. And I think this is why we're warned so much in the Bible to be careful about the things that we say, because, I mean, there's an awesome proverb in chapter 10, verse 19, where it says, when words are many, sin is unavoidable, but he who restrains his lips is wise. Now, I'm one to talk because I'm a loose cannon often when I'm speaking. I just say what comes to mind and stuff. But and that's why I've been so convicted reading all this stuff, because it's like, oh, we need to take our words so seriously, because God hears every word. And I mean, the heart of the matter really is actually, if we go back to Matthew 12, which I just read about the, you know, we're going to give account on the day of judgment for every word. We read the full passage there. Let's pull it up. Matthew 12. If we go a bit earlier in the passage, it says, make a tree good and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And I think that's why our words are so important, because it's out of the overflow of the heart. It reveals who we are. It reveals our heart. And so if there's lies coming out of our mouths, if we're saying things and then not having the truth in us about it, we're not being honest, we're not being men and women of integrity, it shows that our hearts are wrong. And I was asked to try and be as practical as possible this morning. And I think the most practical thing I can say is that if your heart is right, your mouth will speak from that. And I know it can seem quite abstract at times to think about, oh, my heart, you know, what I'm doing. But the thing is, when you know you're right before God, and when God's Spirit is living in you, you can't help but start to speak from that place. And you can't help to be convicted by the words that are coming out of your mouth, especially when you know what God's word says about it. And I feel like part of my job today really is just to read out a bit of God's word to just remind us. Because sometimes we just need reminding of, this is what God says. This is how seriously God takes this. We need to be careful about this. So let's talk about some scriptures, eh? Let's bring out the word of God. And the first big thing I want to highlight is that God is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And because God is truth, it is impossible for him to lie. It's completely contrary to his nature. At least four times in the Bible, both in the Old and the New that I know of, it says that God cannot lie. And in Hebrews 6, it says, he cannot lie because it is impossible for God to lie. God is truth. It is impossible for him to lie. And because God is truth, and because he loves the truth, we find that also in Scripture, that God loves the truth, it means that he hates what is contrary to the truth. He hates lies. And hate is a powerful word. Very powerful. But that's what the scriptures say. Let me read some verses out. Proverbs 12, verse 22. The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in those who tell the truth. Or another translation reads it like this. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight. Zechariah 8, chapter 8, verse 16. These are the things that you shall do. Speak the truth to one another. Render in your gates judgments that are true and make for peace. Do not devise evil in your hearts against one another and love no false oath. For all these things I hate, declares the Lord. And in Proverbs 6, we read that there are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. And two of those things are a lying tongue and a false witness who pours out lies. And Proverbs 19 says, a false witness will not go unpunished, and he who breathes out lies will perish. God is a God of truth, a God who loves the truth, and a God who hates lying. And I want to contrast this with the devil. In John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus says to the Pharisees, the religious people of his day, "You belong to your father, the devil." Whoa. That's what he says. "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." All week I've had this big contrast in my mind. I've just been seeing we've got this kingdom of light, the kingdom of life, the kingdom of truth. And then we've got the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of the devil, the kingdom of lies. And I've been thinking about how truth is very much the language of heaven. Lying is the language of hell. It's the native language of the devil. And I think that's why it's so important that we are people of truth. Because when we lie, we are presenting the wrong kingdom. We are being representatives of the kingdom of darkness. And an illustration came to mind, and it's slightly political, but I don't want you to take any political things from it, but I think it illustrates the point quite nicely. And that is about the Adani coal mine, which was a rather big issue in Queensland in the election. The biggest coal mine Australia's ever had, one of the biggest in the world. Now, imagine for a moment that you're an environmentalist and that saving the planet is big in your list of priority, and that's who you're known for. And it's you're on TV and you're representing the environmentalists. And you say, "I don't actually really think the coal mine's a big deal because it's good for jobs." Now, I'm not saying where you sit, it doesn't matter, but just take the point. I go on TV as an environmentalist and I say, "I don't think it's a big deal." If you were an environmentalist, you would be outraged. And you'd say, "How dare you call yourself that? How dare you call yourself one of us? How dare you say you're an environmentalist and then support this coal mine? How dare you?" And I feel like sometimes that's what God thinks with us. You know, when we go around lying and not being true to our word and not being representatives of the truth, he goes, "What are you doing? You're not presenting my kingdom at all." When we lie, our whole testimony falls apart. God is the God of truth. And as his people, we are called to be people of truth. Colossians 3 verse 17 says, "Whatever you do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." How can we do everything in the name of Jesus if we're telling lies? If we're not living according to the truth? If we're not being honest and open with everyone? If we're not being people of integrity? How can we do that in the name of Jesus? God cannot lie, and as his children, we cannot either. There are so many blessings from telling the truth. It's not easy. But there are so many blessings, and I want to just bring some of them out. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 to 12, I'm getting my numbers mixed up all over the place today, but it's all right. In 1 Peter, it says, "Whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." There's a powerful blessing in there, that when we walk in truth, God hears our prayers. When we are fully exposed to the light, we come to the God of light, we live in the light, we can go and pray to God and know that he hears and answers our prayers. "Whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from lies." another massive blessing of truth and of being truth tellers and people who are honest, we find in Proverbs 24, it says, an honest answer is like a kiss of friendship. When we're truthful with one another, when we're honest, we have strong relationships. We can grow together. There's no barriers keeping us apart. I feel like it is so easy for us to hold things back, to lie, to not be completely honest. We're trying to protect ourselves, protect others, but it's harmful. It hurts our relationships. We can't have intimacy when there's lies. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 to 25 says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. Truth helps us to be the body of Christ. It helps us to function the way we are. I feel like one of the biggest white lies we say that really isn't okay is that I'm fine. I'm good. When people ask, how are you going? Yeah, I'm fine. I'm good. And yet we've got these issues we're wrestling with. We've got this darkness we've been exposed to. We've got all these things going in our mind, and we've had tough and life's, and we've asked, where is God? We've got these doubts, and we just say, I'm fine. We can't be the body of Christ that we hide what we're struggling with from people. We can't be the body of Christ. We can't help each other. We can't pray for each other. We don't know what's going on. It's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy. It's so hard to be truthful because, you know, it means you do get a lot of attention, and it means, you know, sometimes you just want to sit in the corner and hide. You don't want people probing and questioning, and it's so much easier just to brush it all off and say, oh, it's, you know, I've got these big issues in my life that I'm trying to deal with, but it's fine. It's easy, but it's not right. I feel like sometimes we're tempted to play church. We see church as a group of great people that we get to hang out with. It's a social club. It's awesome. There's so many people in here that I absolutely love hanging out with. But the thing is, if we're not being honest with each other, then it's not church. We're not being the body of Christ. We need to be open. No matter how hard it is, we need to be truthful with one another about the real things that are going on in our lives so that we can get alongside each other and encourage each other and build each other up and pray for each other. I feel like sometimes we don't really believe in the power of prayer. You know, I'm a big believer in the power of prayer. I've seen what prayers have done in my life this year. I've had people praying for me this year, really praying for me, and it has changed me. It has completely changed me. But why do we lie? I mean, there's so many reasons. There's we stretch the truth all the time to make ourselves look better, and lies just can seem to come so naturally sometimes. But some of the reasons I think that we lie about, well, one, it is so convenient. It is easy. It can be so much easier just to lie about things and not to be completely truthful about things, because it's sort of, being truthful, being open, being honest requires being vulnerable. It requires letting people see the ugliness in you at times. And that is very hard. But I'd say that even the little lies that you think, oh, it doesn't really matter. Luke chapter 16, verse 10 says, one who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. You might think that you don't tell many lies, or that the lies you do tell are just small lies, that lies of no particular importance. It's not like anyone's hurt. But it is a slippery slope. When we start lying, it just builds and it builds. And lies can be very, very, they can be like chains that bind us. We need to expose the lies and walk in the truth. One of the big reasons I feel like we lie is for our reputation. It's to make ourselves look better. It's to, it's because of pride, really. And a verse I've been thinking about is Revelation chapter 3, verse 1, where it says, and this is where it's the message of God to the churches. And it says, to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Some of the biggest lies I've ever told were to protect my reputation, or to make myself look good, or to present myself as a good person, as a good Christian, to keep my reputation of being alive intact. But God sees through it all. We may have a reputation of being a liar that we feel we need to uphold, but God sees through it. And one of the most dangerous lies I think we can tell are the lies that we think are honourable. And I want to get quite personal here, and while reading this whole message, this just kept coming to mind, so I feel I need to share it. But one of the biggest lies and most dangerous lies I ever told myself was a lie that I thought was kind of honourable. You see, sometimes we think that by lying, we are protecting others. That we, by lying, we are protecting other people from disappointment or from hurt. For years, I had an addiction to pornography that I kept hidden from people. I did confess it to God lots of times, and I wrestled it with God, and I did actually confess it to some people outside of my family home. But I always knew I had to tell Laura, my beautiful wife. But I had a lie that I was always telling myself. And you know what that was? It was that if I tell Laura, she'll think that it was maybe somehow her fault. And she'll probably think that she was inadequate or she wasn't good enough. And I did not want to cause the woman I love to feel pain or to feel hurt. And I distinctly remember a couple of years ago, I was chatting to Laura, and I could see how, as women do, that she had some insecurities about that sort of stuff. And I remember telling myself, as long as I live, no matter how much it hurts me, I will never tell Laura about my sin. I was almost making myself a martyr out of my sin, which is very twisted. But I just remember that thing, and I remember thinking that, you know, as long as I live, I will never let this truth get out, because I did not want to cause Laura pain. I did not want to cause her hurt. And it was a dangerous lie, because when we lie, it builds up barriers. It was wrecking my relationship with God, and it was hurting my relationship with Laura, because we couldn't have the intimacy that we were required to have. And this year, since I have confessed it and I have dealt with it, I mean, I am walking in such freedom now. It is incredible. Because when you bring the darkness to the light, it loses its power over you. And Laura and I have had such an intimate relationship this year. We've been so close to one another. We've been confessing sin to each other regularly. And it has been so enriching, so powerful, that I can't begin to describe how wonderful it is when we confess to one another, when we're open with one another. And look, it hasn't been easy. Definitely not. Has not been easy. And there has been consequences. And there is, you know, there's all the ramifications. But worth it? So worth it. James 5 verse 16 says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. I have been very open this year about my ugliness, about my sinfulness. I brought it all to God. I laid it all before God. And I've shared it with people, and it has been life-changing, because I know that I stand before Christ completely pure, completely righteous, not because of my acts, not because of my reading the Bible or praying or being a good Christian, but I just stand before God knowing that in His Son, Jesus Christ, I am redeemed. All my sins are washed away. I am completely clean and whole. And it is wonderful. And you know, it's funny that we think we can hide behind lies. We think we can hide things. But that's a lie too. Luke chapter 8 verse 17 says, "For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light." Nothing that is hidden will not be known. Nothing that is secret will not come to light. We may think that by lying or something, we're protecting people from hurt, or we're protecting our reputation, or whatever lies we're telling ourselves about, the lies we tell. But know this, it will all come out eventually. And I think now's a good time actually to turn to Acts, where in the New Testament, there's only one time that I'm aware of where God struck people down dead, and it was over a lie. And let me just read it quickly. In Acts chapter 5, verse 1 to 11, we hear, "A man named Ananias, with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property, and with his wife's knowledge, he kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, 'Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God.' When Ananias heard these words, he fell down and breathed his last, and great fear came upon all who heard of it." Great fear came upon all who heard of it. I mean, no wonder, right? But it makes me think, you know, what if you were at that church the next day and you'd heard about, you know, this guy lied and then he got struck down dead? I mean, what if Peter suddenly turns to you and says, "What have you not been truthful about? What have you been lying?" Are you going to go, "Nothing"? I mean, are you going to risk that? Oh. But sometimes we kind of wait for these big things to happen before we get right with God. We have these big issues in our lives, these big things we're struggling with, and we just keep going week by week doing what we do, just dealing with the peripherals, dealing with the edges, just brushing this over here and, you know, polishing that little thing there. And we've got these big stinking issues in our lives that we just completely ignore. And sometimes we need these big events to happen where great fear comes upon us. We realize, yeah, I've got to deal with this. And sometimes for me, you know, I shared last time I preached that the beginning of this year was incredibly hard for me. When I was in a place of incredible darkness, and it was incredibly tough. And it took me, I had to kind of go to that place before I would get truthful and before I would come to the light. And sometimes that's what we need, but how much better would it be if we could just decide right here, right now, that there's no more putting off. No more just leaving the big issues, leaving the things that I know I need to deal with to the side for another day, for another week, till I'm caught out or something tragic happens or something big happens and I know that, okay, I have to deal with it now. I would say to you, friends, that today is the day of your salvation. And if you hear God's voice, do not harden your heart. Do not harden your hearts against what He's saying to you. If you feel that God is leading you to deal with stuff in your life, to come to the light and be fully open and truthful and honest with God and with each other, today is the day. God is a God of light. And when we come to the light, the powers of darkness, they lose their hold on us. They really do. I lived in such freedom this year because I've made a commitment to the truth, to being completely truthful. And when you're completely truthful and when you're living in the light, I mean, it's hard to explain, but it's just like you just realize that sin has no hold on me anymore. It's not that I don't struggle still, but it's not the same. It just doesn't have power in me anymore. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 to 9 says, "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his son cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." I love those verses. Love them. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, King David told a lot of lies. If you're not familiar with the story, he slept with a woman, and then to cover it up, he told lies, and then to cover up those lies, he told more lies, and it ended up with him killing a man to cover up his lies. It was a spiral. When he didn't confess his sin, when he didn't bring it to God, he speaks about, and King David wrote in the Psalms, he wrote a lot of the Psalms, and he wrote in a Psalm what it felt like. And I just want to read that. In Psalm 32, Psalm should be in the middle of the Bible, yeah? In Psalm 32, he says, "When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away." When we have these issues in our lives that we don't bring to people, that we don't bring to the light, we don't confess to one another, when we just let them languish in a dark corner in the sleepless nights, it is constricting, it's bondage, and it weighs on us heavily. But then he continues to say, "Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave me the guilt of my sin." And he finishes the psalm by saying, "Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, O you who are upright in heart." He comes to God, he asks for forgiveness. And Psalm 51, if you want a great prayer of forgiveness, is fantastic. And God forgives his sins. In Psalm 103, David writes about how, "As far as the east is from the west, so far have you removed my transgressions from me." And he goes away rejoicing. I have had such an amazing year this year. God has completely transformed my life. And I'm not playing around anymore. I'm not playing around at all. God is real, and his love for me is intense and amazing. And God has set me free, and I'm walking in that freedom, and he wants it for you too. Now, I know not all of you have big things that you're hiding or anything, and I think if we get to the heart of the issue of everything I've been trying to say today, it's that God is truth, he loves the truth, and he hates lies. That's the heart, my simple message today. And maybe as I've been talking, you're not really thinking, "Oh, I've got big things I'm trying to cover up or big issues that I'm not dealing with." You know, maybe that's not relevant at all, but I would say to you that Psalm 119 says, in verse 59, "I have considered my ways and have turned my steps to your statutes. I will hasten and not delay to obey your commands. I have considered my ways. And so in the light of the truth that I've shared from the word, that God is a God of truth, a God who loves the truth, who loves us to be honest and open and meet people with integrity, in the light of that, I'll just challenge you to consider your ways and think, you know, are there lies that I'm telling? Maybe not on purpose, maybe not, I'm not even aware of. But I'd ask you to ask the Holy Spirit to convict you and that you would just consider your ways and think, how can I make sure that in every sphere of my life, I am walking in the way of truth, in the world of business, in the world of church, in the world of family, everywhere. God is part of our entire lives. And I challenge you to consider your ways and to turn your steps to align to God's word. Maybe you know there's not any big lies that you're hiding, but you feel that you've drifted from God, that his holiness has become something of a rumor to you, and that it's no longer real in your life. Sometimes I think we can live in the world so much that our eyes can become so accustomed to darkness that we start to see what's gray and dark gray as almost white. God says in Revelation some pretty hard words where he talks about, I wish you were either hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I will spit you out. If you feel that you're just getting by in your life as a Christian, I would challenge you to seek God earnestly. And did you know that you have big lies in your life? You know that there's sin that you're covering up. You know that there's things that you're not being honest with people about. You know that you're upholding a reputation that isn't true. Well, John chapter 8, verse 32 says, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And what I was just reading in 1 John before, we confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is faithful, and God is there, and he loves you so much. He loves you so much, and he doesn't want to see you walking in bondage and the entrapment of lies and the sin that so easily entangles us. And today, he wants to do a work in your life. He wants to move in you. He does. What lies are you telling? Bring them to God. Bring them to God. As I said before, don't harden your heart. If you feel that God is talking to you and saying there's things you need to deal with, bring them to God. Talk to someone. Talk to me. Talk to one of the elders. Get people to pray for you. This is real stuff right here. These are matters of eternal consequence. And just know that no matter how ugly, no matter how shameful you may think the parts of your life are that you don't want people to see, no matter how disgusting you think it is, God sent his son to die on the cross in your place. He sent his son to die for you so you could be cleansed, so you could be forgiven, so you could be made whole. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that I can come before you as my Father. I thank you that you lavish your love upon me, that I can stand before you whole, and clean and righteous. I can stand before you, a child of God. Oh God, I thank you for what you've done. I thank you for your marvelous ways, Lord. Lord, you are great. You are holy. You are mighty, Lord. Oh God, you are so awesome, so majestic. And when I think of what you've done in sending your son for me, for us, that we can be made whole. Oh God, I thank you for this gift. Oh God, I pray that your Holy Spirit will work in our hearts, that you help us to turn fully to you, to be completely devoted to you. God, I pray you break the powers of darkness in our lives. God, I pray you break any strongholds that we've set up against you. God, that sin would have no hold on us, that it wouldn't entangle us or prevent us from running our race. God, I pray that we'd be a people that are pure, a people that love you wholeheartedly. God, that we'd be your church, your bride, your body, sanctified in Christ. God, that we would glorify you, that we would glorify your name in the lives that we live, in the truth that we live. Oh God, we love you so much. And we thank you so much for what you've done for us. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.